Big Blue Kickoff live right here on Giants.com, presented by Andrew Mark, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Send in your questions. Of course, the whole show is presented by Andrew Mark, and you can watch and listen to the show, rather, on your mobile phone. Go to your iTunes, your Android Marketplace, and your BlackBerry App World. You can listen to the show right on your phone on the go. Take us wherever you go. We get annoying, I get that, but, you know, in small sizes, in small samples. That's what you need to do, folks. But very special guest today. We're joined by Tony Pauline of Sports Illustrated, their draft insider. He joined us before the draft, and now he joins us to review the Giants draft. Tony, how you doing?
Recuperating a little bit from the draft, but nice to be back with you.
Okay, I appreciate it, Tony. Tony, of course, joined us late last week, and we talked about a lot of guys the Giants could pick at number 32. I don't think David Wilson came up in our conversations. What do you think about the Giants' first-round pick out of Virginia Tech?
A little bit surprised. I thought there were better players available to them on the board. Cordy Glenn of Georgia, Kobe Fleener. You know, I think they got another type of Ahmad Bradshaw back. He's not as tough as Ahmad Bradshaw. He needs some work on his overall game. I think looking at where I had projected Wilson to go, mid to late second round, looking at the other players available to the Giants, I was surprised by this pick, but Jerry Reese has got two Super Bowl rings. I have none, so we're going to have to defer to him, I guess.
I know he ran outside a lot of Virginia Tech. How much does he need to develop his ability to run between the tackles?
Not only run between the tackles, but his vision and his running instincts. The guy is fast. I mean, he can beat defenders into the open field, and he can run the daylight. He has the ability that if there's a seam there, he'll pick up big chunks of yardage from the line of scrimmage. But it's running inside. It's being able to find the running lanes. It's being able to instinctively get through the hull without thinking and running. Like I said, he's got an undeveloped game, and he's going to need a bit of work.
And you mentioned he's got speed. He makes the big play, which makes a lot of people think, oh, maybe he could be a good third down back. But he didn't catch the ball out of the backfield at Virginia Tech. And I know his pass protection hasn't been great either.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Virginia Tech backs are rarely used as receivers because it's, the quarterback is usually the type of guy that can get outside the tackle and make plays throwing the ball. And you know, again, they're not really, they have a fullback or they keep somebody in. It's usually not the running backs that are asked to pass protect. So like I said, I mean, it surprised me because it's not a replacement for Brandon Jacobs. It's sort of a lesser version of Ahmad Bradshaw in round one.
All right, let's go to round two, and I know talking to people upstairs, Reuben Randle was a name the Giants did discuss with their final pick in the first round. They went with David Wilson, and they were blown away, surprised, in the best possible way that Reuben Randle was still there at the end of round two. What do you see when you look at Reuben Randle on tape, Tony?
Yeah, I mean, as far as disappointed as I thought the David Wilson pick was, this is how, to the opposite side of the spectrum, that's how big a steal I think a Reuben Randle is. You know, he was late first round, early second round value. He's tall, he's graceful, he's smooth, he's got soft and strong hands with the ability to pluck the ball from the air. He catches the underneath pass with regularity. He's sneaky fast. He's not 40-time fast, but he's sneaky fast with the ability to get down the field and stretch the defense on occasion. I mean, this is your replacement for Mario Manningham. There's no doubt about it. And this is a guy that could develop, you know, down the road, depending on the amount of money that Hakeem Nicks wants on his second contract, if Reuben Randle develops as he has the potential to, the Giants may have some options.
Wow, so you really think this guy in a year or two could be a legitimate either high-end number two or borderline number one wide receiver in the NFL?
I'd stick with the number two right now. He could develop into a number one, although he's not a vertical threat, but, you know, that's okay because he can catch the underneath routes and you let Victor Cruz run down the field.
Yeah, you mentioned sneaky speed. Is he going to be able to create separation from some of the speedier and better corners in the NFL, considering he's a bigger wide receiver without that top-end high 40 time?
He'll do it more by seeing the field and basically when coverage is drawn over to Victor Cruz, you know, when he's one-on-one. He's not going to do it on a consistent basis, you know. Sneak in the sense that you're going to have defensive backs who may relax on him because he doesn't seem that fast, but all of a sudden he'll blow by them. I wouldn't rely on that on him being able to do that on a consistent basis, but every once in a while he's going to be able to get down the field and make the deep reception.
All right, let's talk about the Giants' third-round pick, J'Ron Hosley, at Virginia Tech, actually a roommate of David Wilson when they both went there, a guy that I think a lot of people thought would have gone sooner if it wasn't for the failed drug test at the Combine. Your thoughts on Hosley?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy was early second round value. He fell because of the drug test and some other off-the-field issues. He's not the tallest guy in the world, but he's got great cover skills. He's instinctive. He's opportunistic. He constantly positions himself to make a play on the ball. I mean, this is a guy that will perfectly fit in as a slot cornerback, a guy that you can, you know, use inside to cover those speedier guys that come off the line of scrimmage. Again, like Reuben Randle, this is tremendous value for the Giants. Great job picking them up. You know, you're going to have to get over the hurdle that of the failed drug test, but still, you're talking about the third round here for the Super Bowl champions. It was definitely worth the gamble, and I think it's going to turn out to be a great pick for them.
Now, Jerry Reese was just effusive in his praise of Adrian Robinson after the draft, talking about, even though his production at Cincinnati was obviously low, only I think 29 or something like that career receptions in college, but he loves his size. He had a great 40 time at the combine. What type of upside, Tony, does Adrian Robinson have, and can he develop into a serviceable and usable and potentially a starting NFL tight end?
Yeah, well, he had a great combine at the pro day. He was not invited to the combine, so
right.
There's a slight difference there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a guy, he's a developmental prospect. He's a project in the works. There's no way to escape that. He's big. He times well. He's athletic. He flashes ability on the field. I mean, I broke some tape out late on him and watched him before the draft because I knew he was going to get selected. He shows the ability to make the downfield reception. He shows good focus and concentration. He gives effort blocking, but the fact is he's a long way from being NFL ready. He's a long way from consistently transferring those size and speed, those natural abilities that he has onto the football field on an every down basis. So, I mean, they may keep him on the roster just to justify the pick. I think he's more of a practice squad type guy that you're going to look to develop 2 years down the road.
Okay, and then there with the Giants, second pick in the fourth round. That was their compensatory selection. They go with Brandon Mosley, an offensive tackle out of Auburn. Obviously, looking at his size, it's 6'5", 314. He seems physically to have the skills to be an offensive tackle. How do you project him as a pro?
I think this is another good pick, and like Robinson, this is a guy that you're going to develop for the future. Mosley did a terrific job protecting the blind side at Auburn the past several years. He plays a little bit upright, but he turned in a tremendous combine workout. I think his athleticism and his athletic numbers ran much faster, jumped much higher than people thought, and he's a good player. Now you've just got to combine those two. You've got to get him to play with proper fundamentals. He'd bend his knees, you know, use his foot speed. Again, I think he's more of a right tackle prospect for the NFL and for the Giants. But like Robinson, he's a guy that you can develop in a year or two. Maybe you've got something there. Maybe you've got a guy, you know, who can develop into a starter. I think he's further ahead in his game compared to Adrian Robinson. But I had talked about this in my SNY TV appearance for the Giants. I think this is another terrific pick. Again, you know, you're talking about the Super Bowl champion, so there's not going to be a whole lot of roster spots or playing time available, you know, the upcoming season. You've got to look towards the future, and I think that's what the Brandon Mosley pick was.
And another pick for the future, Mac McCants, a sixth-round pick. This is a guy out of UAB, obviously not a football powerhouse UAB. But Jerry Reese made the comparison to David Deal in his post-draft press conference. He's a guy that played both tackle positions in college, and they think, at least on the NFL level, he should be able to play some guard as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think he's a little more athletic than Dave Deal at equal points in their career. He's got decent size, but again, like you said, you know, UAB is a minor program in 1A. He's going to have to get into an NFL weight training program. I think he only had 14 reps at the combine, more indicative of the fact that he was never really asked to lift weights at UAB because they don't have a defined weightlifting program, but he's got
wow.
the natural skills. And again, a guy that, you know, you're going to stash on the practice squad and, you know, see what you have 2 or 3 years down the road.
And finally, Marcus Kuhn, who really is an interesting guy in that he's 26.
Yeah.
He's from Germany. He hasn't really played a ton of football, but I know the Giants loved his size, his strength, and his and really just seeing some physical potential there for the future.
And his motor. This is a pick that could surprise. When I say surprise, I mean make a roster.
Right.
I mean, this is a guy that goes hard. This is a guy that's got some versatility. You could use him at end. You can stick him inside a tackle. You can use him in a three-man line when you do that. He's a rotational guy that does a lot of things well. He's got a developing game. You watch him play, he goes very hard. I mean, the guy has a nonstop motor. He's got a good amount of upside. And, you know, as we've seen, the Giants, all they do is they collect good defensive linemen. That's why they win Super Bowl championships. And this is just another guy that they collect who I think could surprise and somehow find his way onto a roster come September.
Generally speaking, Tony, in the draft, it looked like a couple of the offensive linemen a lot of people thought would go earlier ended up going a little bit later, whether we're talking about Cordy Glenn or, to a bigger extent, Bobby Massey. Why do you think these guys dropped the way they did?
I think two things. Well, what Massey is, you learn the hard way sometimes, and even Cordy Glenn to an extent. Teams are grabbing guys that are NFL ready. Teams are grabbing guys that they think can start come September or October. They weren't too sure about Cordy Glenn. They definitely think that Massey isn't going to be ready for a year or two. That's why they both fell. I also think what you saw at the receiver position with guys like A.J. Jenkins going in the first round, with Brian Quick going at the top of round two, it seems that teams are targeting specific players rather than, and even to an extent, the Giants with David Wilson. When you heard the comments about David Wilson versus Doug Martin, it seems this year the teams are starting to target players versus best player available or best player available at specific positions. Bruce Irvin in round one. And that's the way it seemed to me to go this year, which is why some of the highly rated guys, whether it be Cordy Glenn, whether it be Bobby Massey, whether it be a tight end like Kobe Fleener, you know, fell much later than expected.
Boy, I've seen opinions on Bruce Irvin all over the map. Some people love it, call him the best pass rusher in the draft. Other people say we had him off our draft board. What's your take on Bruce Irvin?
Somewhere in between. I mean, you know, the fact is this, is after his junior season, he probably was a first-round pick because his junior college transfer, he goes to West Virginia, just blows it up. I mean, destroyed the opposition. People talk about Chandler Jones. I mean, this guy did more in 1 year, his junior year at West Virginia, and Chandler Jones did it 3 years at Syracuse. All of a sudden, teams were aware of him. They became accustomed to him, and he really kind of slid as a senior. Then he goes to the combine. And he blows up the combine. So I think there's a happy medium. My happy medium would have been probably the middle of round two, not the middle of round one. Does have some off the field issues, which is a concern for people, but that's nothing new for West Virginia prospects if you follow that program.
Yeah.
The thing is this, is he's going to have to learn to be a traditional 4-3 linebacker. That's not always an easy adjustment. He's got the athleticism. But, you know, when you spent your college career pinning your ears back and chasing the quarterback up the field, and now all of a sudden you got to play a disciplined system, you got gap responsibilities, you got to play in space, all of a sudden you're asked to make plays moving in reverse, it's a big gamble sometimes.
And you mentioned Chandler Jones. What did you think of the Patriots? Usually they're a team that likes to trade down, get extra picks, but like you said, they seem to target a couple of players they really wanted, and they did what was necessary to trade up to get them.
Yeah, and there were rumors early on they were going to trade up even further with Seattle, but you know, we'll have to see. That's Belichick's guy. I mean, he's not infallible. He's made some mistakes in the past, despite what people think. He does have 3 Super Bowl championship rings, which he deserves credit from. And they do have a good scouting department in New England, which is something. I mean, they got a developed scouting department, and they take the input from scouts, which I think is important. As far as Chandler Jones is concerned, my own personal view is, you know, I don't know what to do with him in a 3-4. Is he a defensive end? Is he an outside linebacker? You know, he doesn't have a big frame. He's not really fast. Those were my concerns when people were talking about him being a top of round one guy. I think he went more where he should have gone, late part of round one. It'll be interesting to see moving forward where they use him and how he does. I think he's a guy that's at least 2 years away. I guess Bill Belichick and New England Patriots think otherwise.
Well, and look, the Patriots going to use that variable front, switching between the 4-3 and the 3-4, and then they draft Dante Hightower, another guy that I know a lot of people think is very versatile in what he can do from that linebacker spot.
I think he's more of a run stuffer. He's outstanding in the box. He's a forceful player in the box, will impose his will against opponents. Tremendous run stuffer that can also force the action behind the line of scrimmage. I think he's very suspect in coverage. You can't really, on those 3rd and 5 situations, if you're not going to blitz him, he's not going to be able to cover the tight end because he's not good in reverse. He's really not that good in pursuit outside the numbers, I should say. But again, I mean, they wanted to strengthen their defense. They got some athletic guys. They got some big, strong, powerful guys. It's just a matter of developing them, as it is with every player in the draft.
All right, let's jump to the NFC East, Tony. Obviously, let's start with the Redskins. We know about Robert Griffin III. How do you break down the rest of their draft, and were you as surprised as everybody else when they drafted Kirk Cousins in the fourth round?
Yeah, not only Kirk Cousins, but then they took Larrivis in the third round, the kid from SMU, when there were much better players available to them at the offensive line position, Brandon Brooks. You know, I think this is going to be a one-player draft for the Washington Redskins.
Wow.
The fact is it's going to sink or swim, as is expected, you know, based off of Robert Griffin. If he does well, it's going to be looked upon as a terrific draft. I do think they got some good players in Keenan Robinson in the fourth round, maybe Adam Gettis. I was just surprised with Larrivis in round three, with the other offensive linemen who were available. And as you said, taking Kirk Cousins, you know, after you drafted Robert Griffin, unless they think somehow they're going to develop Cousins and use him as trade fodder in the future, as we've seen the aforementioned New England Patriots do with guys like Matt Cassel.
Now, the Cowboys made the first big first-round splash, trading their second-round pick to move up from 14 to 6 to select Morris Claiborne. I guess my question for you would be, is Morris Claiborne's talent worth the price it cost the Cowboys?
In this draft, yeah. I mean, he is one of the most polished quarterbacks to enter the NFL draft in probably a half dozen years.
Wow.
You look at the need, you look at the player. I mean, Claiborne is a guy that's going to come in and start for them right away. He doesn't have he's not a spectacular quarterback, but he's a very steady, shutdown guy who I think will do a very good job for them from day one. I thought the Cowboys overall did well. I mean, they've definitely strengthened their defense. Tyrone Crawford in the third round was terrific value. Kyle Wilbur of Wake Forest was also good value. And then they come back with a great receiver like Danny Cole in round five. I think overall, you know, they really represented themselves well over the 3 days of the draft.
A lot. I've heard very diverse opinions on Matt Johnson, the safety they took out of Eastern Washington. Your take on him?
Downhill, run-defending guy. He's not a guy that's a traditional center fielder. He's more of a strong safety type. You're going to have to use him in his own system. He's going to struggle in man coverage situations. He's not a guy that you can place over the slot receiver. He's not a guy that's going to really be able to get outside the numbers and make plays. You know, he's forceful. He's a terrific run defender. Should be a good special teams player, but I think he's limited in his ball skills. I know he is based on film. I'm sorry.
That's all right. No worries. Can James Hanna be an effective pass-catching tight end / slot guy / H-back in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I think where they got him is good value. He's a great athlete. He's just got to learn to be a good football player on a consistent basis. He's got to learn to produce on a consistent basis. His hands are suspect, which is why he went in the sixth round. I mean, if he was as good a football player as he was an athlete, he probably would have gone in third, fourth round area. He's got a lot of work to do on his game, but, you know, the Cowboys like that types of play, like those types of players. The skill is there. He's just got to learn to be consistent on a positive note.
And you got to love what the Eagles did. Fletcher Cox went a lot later than a lot of people thought he would. He went to 12. The Eagles only at the trade, I think, was a fourth-round pick to move up to get him. And they were thrilled, I'm sure, getting Fletcher Cox where they did.
Yeah, I think the Eagles overall did a tremendous job. You talked about Fletcher Cox. Not only did they get a guy, get great value on a guy, but they got a guy that can come in and start for them immediately and is a perfect fit for their system. They also got a player in Fletcher Cox that a lot of people have said will be the best defensive player to come from this draft 2 or 3 years down the road. Now, you know, that remains to be seen, especially when we just talked about Morris Claiborne. But the fact is, you know, Fletcher Cox is what you want in today's defensive lineman. He's versatile. You could use him in several systems, in a three-man line and a four-man line. He can rush the passer. He's good against the run. He's got a large amount of upside. And is a guy whose game will only improve as he physically matures and just gets stronger.
Tony, absolutely fantastic stuff. Finally, four teams in the NFC East. Which team you think had the best draft?
Philadelphia Eagles, from top to bottom. I think, you know, they wanted to strengthen their defense, and they absolutely did with a guy like Fletcher Cox. We didn't talk about Michael Kendricks, who should do well as a one-gap linebacker. Getting Vinnie Curry at the end of round two was an absolute steal, one of the best pass rushers in this year's draft. And then they come back in the last day of the draft to get Brandon Boykin out of Georgia, a guy who, you know, sort of like Jawan Hosley, is going to be able to play over that slot receiver on the inside, and he's also an explosive kick returner. Did have some injury issues at the Senior Bowl, but a guy in the fourth round who could see a lot of action for the Eagles in the upcoming season.
Tony Pauline from Sports Illustrated does a fantastic job. Thank you very much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
That's Tony Pauline from Sports Illustrated. You'll hear more from Tony tomorrow when he gives us some updates on the Giants, undrafted free agents, and, of course, rookie minicamp gets underway. Now, we have a couple callers that have been on hold and waiting this entire time. Excellent job from Larry and Enoch, but we're going to start with Larry out in Illinois. He's been holding the longest. Larry, what's your question?
At the time, I didn't love the pick, but when you factor in Reuben Randle in the second round, if you would have switched those picks around, I probably would have been happy. So can't get too excited there. I do like David Wilson, but a couple things do concern me about him. Mainly three things that have been pointed out: the propensity to fumble. I think that can be corrected with coaching from Coughlin and others. Blitz pickup. I think that also could be corrected. The one thing that I'm not so sure is the propensity to reverse fields and bounce everything outside. That concerned me. I don't know if that's sort of an instinct or anything that can be reeled in, because there's been criticism of Bradshaw in the past not following his blocks, by the TV commentators.
Yeah, Larry. I think all that is completely fair. I think he has to hone his instincts as a running back. I think a lot of that is instinct, but he also has to be more disciplined. That a lot of that's mental. When the coaches tell you this is the play, you follow the play, and you have to be willing to. What people like to say is be slow to the hole, be fast through the hole. So you have to have patience in waiting for your blockers to develop the play and the scheme so the runner can get through that initial hole. A lot of times, you're right, Ahmad Bradshaw will run. He'll look for a split second. If the hole's not there, he's bouncing it outside, when if he stays with the play, he might have 5 or 6 more yards. So you're right. Wilson will have to develop as a more instinctual runner, a more disciplined runner, and a better runner between the tackles.
Yeah, I agree. That's the one thing. I'm not sure if that can be taught. It'll be really interesting to follow him throughout his career to see if he can. If he can do that and follow his holes, there's no reason why he can't really be an impact running back.
He has all.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, Larry, and thank you very much for the call, man. He has all the athleticism. He has the speed. He has the thick legs to break tackles. He had more yards after contact last year than any other running back in college football. He basically carried that Virginia Tech offense. It's very exciting, and he should be a great complement to Ahmad Bradshaw and a big play guy too, something the Giants have been looking for in the running game. 201-939-4513. Enoch's in Long Island. Enoch, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Enoch. How are you?
Good, good. My question a little bit is I was reviewing the season that just passed, and there's some games as a Giants fan that just made me cringe. I wanted to talk a little about it now that the guy was talking about David Wilson. In the second game when we played Philly, if you remember, DJ Ware was running the ball, and he had a concussion. He suffered a concussion during that game. Even when we played the Bills and the 49ers, it just seemed like our running game and our defense isn't solid. And, like, with Aaron Ross leaving and Jonathan Goff and Chase Blackburn coming back, the run defense to me is just like we need to get blocks and just stop the run. I think that's what the Giants football need.
Hey, look, Enoch, I will agree with you 100%. The running game last year was abysmal. They were 32nd in the league. It got a little bit better as the year went along, but certainly not good enough for the Giants to be comfortable moving forward this year. That's the reason they drafted David Wilson. They're going to have some movement on the offensive line with Kareem McKenzie no longer with the team. So you're right. The running game was a problem, and frankly, it was a minor miracle the team was able to win a Super Bowl having the worst running attack in all of football. It's a big problem. So that is something the Giants need to address, and believe me, Coach Coughlin wants balance on offense, and that's something they have to look at. As for the defense, if you look at the regular season stats, you're right. The defense was a huge problem. They gave up a lot of big plays. Like you mentioned, they did not stop the run very effectively or consistently, but when they got to the postseason, at least in the secondary, you really saw something click with this team, and that combined with the pass rush, at least during the playoff run, was up to normal Giants standards. Now the question remains is whether or not that was a flash in the pan or whether or not that's something this group can sustain over a course of an entire regular season. And with Aaron Ross leaving, look, Terrell Thomas comes back healthy. You hope he can give you something, and you hope Prince Mukamura, last year's first-round pick, gets healthy, and he can replace Aaron Ross as well.
And the last question I had was David Wilson. I've followed him throughout this whole Virginia Tech career. But the one thing that most amazed me is that people don't know is that you go on YouTube and you search it up, and when they played USA against Canada, the leadership he has. He's like a natural born leader. It's just he could replace Brandon Jacobs in my mind.
No, I agree 100%, and you're right. I saw that YouTube video too. If you guys go out there and search on YouTube, probably David Wilson's speech, USA Football, something like that, you can bring it up. And he has this absolutely emotional, from the heart, pregame speech and the pregame huddle that just got the team so fired up to play Canada. It was just an unbelievable job by Wilson. Everything I've heard about Enoch in terms of his personality, his intangibles, his leadership is absolutely off the charts. And he should be a great addition to the team in that regard. And in terms of the type of person that he is, I don't think there's any doubt in this organization that he's exactly what the Giants organization stands for.
And one quick last question.
Sure.
Well, what flaws do you see, or what advantages do you see us playing against the Cowboys opening night?
Whew, that's a good one. Let me think for a second. Okay, number one has to be stopping the run, because DeMarco Murray is going to be back by that time, and I think the Cowboys with Murray, with Felix Jones this year, are really going to try to be more of a running team, to be honest with you. They'll obviously throw the football a lot with Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, and Jason Witten, and Tony Romo, but I think they're going to strive to be a more balanced team. So I think stopping the run is one. And I think the biggest thing that you're going to watch in that game, the reason the Giants were able to beat the Cowboys twice last season was their passing attack. Eli Manning ate the Cowboys' lunch. He killed them. He threw for over 800 yards in the two games versus the Dallas Cowboys. He killed them. The Cowboys have a revamped secondary now with Morris Claiborne, with Brandon Carr. Let's see if the Giants can put up that many points against the Cowboys, because you figure Dallas is going to score 24, you know, 21, 27 points, something like that. So the Giants are going to have to score. It'll be a great war between Knicks, Cruz, and that revamped Cowboys secondary.
All right. Thank you very much. Good job, John. And keep up the good job.
Hey, thanks, Enoch. Great call. Appreciate you listening and calling in. That was a great call by Enoch there. Appreciate it. Nookie Thompson. Come on. The show. Melroy, you don't know the show? Boardwalk Empire. The main character is Enoch Nookie Thompson. Just throwing it out there. Yeah. Excellent job. Enoch, great call. Appreciate it. Boardwalk Empire is a good show, by the way. Moved slow a little bit at the beginning, but then it kind of picked up and it got better. What? I can't go off sports for a couple seconds? Shut up, Melroy. All right. Thanks for joining us tonight on Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. My name is John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. Tomorrow morning, you'll hear a little bit more from Tony Pauline on the Giants free agent class coming in, the undrafted free agents. That should be a lot of fun. So, yeah, good times. And the rookies arrive later on today. Check out Giants.com for a little montage on the rookies arriving today. You'll see David Wilson for the first time, maybe not in a Giants jersey. You might see him trying on some Giants equipment. That'll give you something to for Giant fans to sink their teeth into with rookie minicamp starting tomorrow. We'll have full coverage, of course, of that on Giants.com. Highlights from practice, a couple of interviews, players meet the media, all that good stuff. So make sure you go to Giants.com tomorrow for that. And, of course, remember, Big Blue Kickoff Live is presented by Andrew Mark, and it comes your way every morning from 10 to 10:30 on Giants.com. And now you can listen on your mobile app as well. Go to iTunes, your Android marketplace. I believe it's called the Play Store now, or the BlackBerry App World to download your Giants app. All the video, all the written content, all the audio on Giants.com, you can get right out of that app. So go download it. You can check out this show live every morning from 10 to 10:30. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time right here. Where? Giants.com.